In particular, let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another, in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Since Jesus has opened the way for every person who has received what Jesus has done on the cross for us, for every person who has received that atoning, forgiving work that he did for us, since he's done that, what is to be our response? What should we do with what he has done for us? And in particular, what is our response to be towards one another? Since we now have access to God 24/7, whenever and wherever we might be, based on an awesome privilege, why go to church? What place does even gathering like this have? Since I can come to him anytime I want anyway, why gather together like this? Look at verses 22 and following this morning. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Awesome, awesome verses and truth set before us this morning. My prayer is that we will lay hold of all God has for us through this. I've called our time together this morning, really, based on verse 24, I've called our time together. Let us consider. Let's pray. Lord, as we gather, we thank you for this awesome privilege to gather freely and openly, Lord, to gather just knowing that you love us. We can gather in your love. We gather in that finished work of the cross, Lord. Recognizing that while we were yet sinners, Father, you sent your Son for us. So we see your love demonstrated all around us, Lord. But Lord, the question becomes, what's our response to be? What do you find in us as we have now this awesome privilege, as we have your presence and all? Lord, search our hearts. Speak to us this morning and help us, Lord. Help us really move forward in that which you're about to show us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jesus died on the cross, it tells us in Matthew 27 that the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. Now, for some, that's a very familiar example or occurrence in terms of what we understand is going on there. But I realize some of us may not. So let me just very quickly remind us of what that's pointing to. See, this whole book of Hebrews is written, first of all, to Jews who had come out of the Old Testament relationship with God, and they come now into that new covenant standing. For Jews, their worship was focused on the tabernacle and later the temple in Jerusalem. At the very center of the tabernacle and the temple was the holy place. Inside of that, at the very core of it, was what was known as the Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant and all was inside of there. But separating it from everything outside was this large, tall, thick veil. And only once a year was one person, the high priest, allowed to go behind that veil. And he went after offering sacrifice for himself and the people. And he went in on what's called the Day of Atonement to just that, to make atonement for the people. People were not, they didn't go to God directly, but they went through this mediator, through the high priest. Well, Hebrews teaches us that that tabernacle and all that was here on earth was simply an example. It pointed to the reality in heaven. And so when Jesus died on the cross, as the veil in the earthly temple was torn, it represented that now the Lamb of God, the sacrifice that all the other sacrifices had pointed toward, had now come. And he had gone to the cross, and the price was paid. And so the veil is torn now to show that we can come, that everyone can come. And not just once a year, but 24/7, we can come boldly unto the throne of God through the shed blood of Jesus. All the obstacles between man and God were now defeated. The way was made possible. And Jesus entered into the actual heavenly tabernacle, of which the earthly one was just an example. And from that point on, each person who's received Jesus as Savior, we can come directly into God's presence. We can have continual fellowship with God. And so as we begin this passage, he points that out. Brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, how? By the blood of Jesus. See, our privilege is what? To enter the holiest. To have communion, continual communion with God. But how is that done? What's the requirement? It's through the blood of Jesus. And so now he has given us this new and living way, is the point. But having said this now, having pointed out that Jesus has purchased this, and for every believer we can come to the Lord that way and all that being the case, what's to be our response to that? Well, how does God find us responding to this privilege now? Commentators agree that at this point in the book of Hebrews, after several chapters of setting the stage, the author now basically says, okay, now here's the practical side of this. Based on all these other things, now here's to be our response. As we read through these texts as we began our time this morning, let me ask you, did you notice there were three "let us" statements given to us? Let us. In other words, let's be about this. Based on what was just said, let's be about this. They're found in verses 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Verse 24, and let us consider one another. This morning I want us to consider the "let us" of these verses. You see, Jesus has done his part. Now we have our part. This work that he's done, this privilege we have, should look like something. It should result in something in us, he's saying. In essence, what will we do about the torn veil? In other words, access to God, relationship with God. What will be our response to having that direct access to God? Now, the author points to three "let us" here. Dare I do this? I guess I'll go for it. Hopefully ushers are keeping an eye out for anybody who has tomatoes to chuck at me right here. But if we are living in the truth of verses 19 through 21, in other words, living in the reality of access to God, if we are living in the truth of 19:21, then they will produce the "let us" of the following verses. Ooh. That's pretty corny, isn't it? Okay, I had to do it. Keep in mind, she's got to put up with me all the time. So, well, pray for Kathy. Let us. Let's do it, is what the call is. So let's make sure that this is what we're about. What are those things? Let's work our way through it. The first, let us, in response to what God has done for us. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In light of the forgiveness he's given and this work and this change and all, what's the first let us? He says, let's make sure that we draw near. How sad it is that to realize that Jesus died on the cross to purchase direct access to God the Father. He did that for us, and yet we might not avail ourselves of it. We might not enter in. What an interesting and yet sad reality. That we would stand afar instead of come into a deep fellowship with God. I find that interesting that God even has to pursue us and exhort us to draw near. You would think we would rush in now that it's available. See, the call is to be known as those who enter in all the time. Yes, there's many a thing that compete for our time. But too many of us, from the word, from the very beginning of the morning to the end of the day, so rushed, so hurried, so many things on our plate, and yet haven't done that which is the most needful, and that is spend time to enter in to fellowship with God, to worship, to praise Him, to receive from Him all that He has for us. And that's what this is talking about, prayer, worship, just the continual in our hearts, abiding in Him and in His presence and all. And so the call here is, you have access, now do it. Let us draw near with what? It says, with a true heart. Be real is the idea. Be genuine with God. Have a right attitude. An attitude filled with gratitude and joy is the idea. Come with this true heart. How? In full assurance of faith. Faith in what? Faith that somehow you've earned it. You're good enough. See, some people think that. Well, I'm having a really good day today. I haven't yelled at anybody. Okay, now I can spend time with God. No. Come as you are. Come all the time. Come recognizing your need. But make sure you come. Come in recognition of what? As it says here, that we've been washed. We're forgiven. There's this cleansing that He has done and is doing in our lives. So we come in a full assurance by faith in the work, the forgiving, cleansing work that Jesus has done on our behalf. So that's the first let us, and that is let us draw near. The second let us, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. See, not only are we to draw near to God now that we can, but next we read that we're to hold fast. Let us hold fast. To not waver, but to stand strong. We'll hold fast to what? The confession, the testimony of, the declaration of our hope. As we saw last time together, that we have this hope. It's an anchor in heaven. It's a hope for us. It's true and living hope. You see, the call here really is to have a fullness of faith and a fullness of hope. And those are two things that should mark and will mark the heart of one who knows Jesus. As we get to know Him, as we draw near to Him, as we know His character better and better, as He moves from just being something where it's just head intellectual knowledge, as He moves into that gnosko, that knowing that Scripture speaks about of experientially knowing Him, then we can more and more hold on. There are so many things that would try to trip us up, pull us away, but the author is saying, don't be duped, don't you do that. Let us be those who hold fast. On what basis? How can I stand strong? How can I hold fast? What's it say? What's our basis? For He who promised is faithful. Thank God I don't have to come to Him based on my faithfulness. I'm weak. I lack wisdom. So do you. But I can come and find what I need. That's how we decided. I find what I need and hunger for in Him. I come because He who promised is faithful. He won't say, come, and then when I come, turn around and boot me out. Get out of here. No, come. And I find the one who is so very faithful to us. This covenant that we now stand in, this fellowship we have with God, it's based not on our works, but His faithfulness. We can understand why that great hymn is so popular with so many as we sing, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," as we think of the Lord. And I expect if you've walked with the Lord very long, you would join in with that. I know that I daily seem to discover new depths of His faithfulness. And I continually, just in all the things that go on around here and in my life and everything else, just say, "God, You are so faithful." And that's the idea here. We're to draw near to Him. We're to hold fast to Him because He is faithful to us. And then the third, let us, verse 24, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching." Here we have a really awesome thing. The fact that we have direct access to God should produce in us three things the author is pointing out to us. Number one, draw near to Him. Let it have the impact, the effect, the result of drawing near to Him. Secondly, let it have the impact, the effect of causing us to hold on, hold fast to our confession of hope in Him. And thirdly, it should cause us to relate to our brothers and sisters, to other believers, in a certain way. See, it isn't just what having a relationship with God does for us, although that's part of this, such an awesome part of it, but it's not supposed to stop at that. Here we see an interesting thing. It's also about what this is supposed to look like through us to one another. Verse 24 again. "And let us," the third let us, let's be about, "consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." The word "consider" here is a translation of a Greek word that means to give attentive care to something, to really look after it, to make it a priority, to really take care of this thing. And the tense that the Greek word is in means it's something to be continuous. It's to be going on continuously. So the admonition here, the exhortation, is that we are to take careful, attentive, continuous note of each other's spiritual welfare. And notice that. The focus of, the purpose of this attentive care is what? Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. How much are our thoughts on the other person as we come to church? And I mean that in a positive way. Sometimes we'll really admit our focus is on the other person, but it has to do with maybe with a jealousy, a resentment, an anger. No, that's not what this verse is talking about. But rather, the exhortation here is that as we gather together, there's to be an other focus to our lives. It's not all about us. But we're to seek God working not just in us, but then through us. It says here that the one purpose for gathering here is to do just that, stir up love and good works in another. When you come to church, do you do that? Thank God that we get to gather together and worship. I know I sure want that. When I attend a gathering of believers, a service of some type, yes, lead me in worshiping. And I thank God for our team and how awesome they are and how gifted they are. They give those to the Lord and they lead us in worshiping Him. Awesome. And yes, teach me the Word. When I get together and there's somebody sharing the Word, that's what I need, that's what I know I want. So just as we're doing now, just take me to the Word that God, by the Holy Spirit, might speak to me. But here we see, heaven forbid that that's all it would be about. But instead, as we come, we should be thinking about not just us and what's in it for us, but then what might God have for the other person? And what might my part each of us, have in what he has for them, is the idea. How do we stir up love and good? Now, we know very well how to stir up trouble. We know how to stir up gossip, comparison. That's not what we're to do here. But instead, we're to stir up love and good works in another. Well, how do we do that? How do we stir up love? By loving them. Through our prayers and our example and our doing of it. I find most people, when they're being gossiped about or attacked or put down or something, they're busy defending. But when we love on someone, it sets the example of that. And we find they respond in like manner. So it begins by doing it, by expressing love towards it. And the same is true for good works. How do we stir up good works amongst ourselves? By being a doer of those works towards others. Now, I recognize some of you right now might be saying, hey, I like this setup. I tell you what, I'll come and I'll let you be the one that fulfills Scripture. I'll let you love me and do good works towards me, and you meet Scripture and I get my needs met. Hey, this is a good deal. If that's your idea of this, then again, we need to kind of stop and regroup, because that's not the case. The Lord says, hang on to your life and you'll lose it. But lose it for him and you find it. True for salvation and true for purpose and meaning and real satisfaction. Lose your life for him. Be the one who God loves through, and you watch what it does for you then. Be the one who acts upon what God has done, and you watch what he does to you and for you and all. So don't say, well, I'll just come. And because too often it's like, well, nobody's loved me. Nobody's doing something for me. Who's going to greet me? Well, let us start with you. Let us be the ones who initiate it. And you watch how this whole thing works. And so that's the call before us. We stir up to love and good works by doing it, by praying for it and doing it, by just being an example of it. I look back over the years, and I can think of so many people I know in my life who've stirred up love and good works in me through their examples. As they would express love towards me, or as they would say, come on, jump on board. God's doing this work, and let's see, you know, and just we'd go for it together and see God work in some way. And time and again, just I would see that, and so many good friendships and all formed in that way. But not just past tense. As a pastor around here, I get the privilege of seeing this going on even today. So many people here are already doing this. I recognize that. This is very true for our fellowship even now. Some of you don't get a chance to see the things I do, of course, because I'm around here more and get to talk to many of you, etc. But how blessed I am when I see, or oftentimes I'm on the receiving end, of those in our fellowship who practice the very thing. The stirring up to love and good works going on. Meaning the example of it, the doing of it, the desire to see God work in that way. I get to hear about the phone call that was made, or the visit that took place, or the help in some way, some food or financial or something that went on. Or on and on it goes, the prayer that was made, the counsel that was given, just the coming along beside someone and helping them and all. And so I know right well it's going on amongst us. We don't do these things so he will love us. As it says, it's because he already does. We don't do these things so we can have access to him. It's what access to him is supposed to look like as we live it out. If you're doing it, keep it up. If God speaks to your heart that, you know what, I haven't been focused the right way here, then so be it. Change it, Lord. Because here's the challenge. Sometimes we arrive late, don't really allow enough time, we're rushing around, we come halfway through the worship, no time to interact and find out how somebody was doing, to greet them or encourage them. We come in late, the pastor seems like he's going on and on, can't wait for him to get done. Doesn't he know the ball game's starting? And so the office service ends, and off we go. We rush out. And there's nothing wrong with watching the ball game or catching a nap in the afternoon or whatever your day might hold. But if we don't do these things, if we're not open to minister to one another in this way, then we missed out on what God has. To take time to really find out how someone's doing, to ask that next question rather than take the first quick answer. But to really say, hey, well, let me pray for you, or whatever it might be. See, look at verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'm always sad when I hear people say that they don't need to go to church to worship God. Because it is true. Thank God it is true. You can worship God anywhere at any time. And I hope you do. But to have it stop there, well, we see what God is inviting us to in our text this morning. We need the gathering of the believers. You need it. I need it. We all need it. You need it, and they need you. It says here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking, there's the translation of a Greek term that means not leaving behind, not leaving in the lurch, not abandoning. Important we understand. When I say, oh, I can skip church, I can worship God anywhere, God's saying, be careful, because in doing that, we're abandoning our brothers and sisters. We're abandoning. We're, as it says, we're leaving them behind. The admonition here is, don't do that. Instead, gather together. And towards what end? That we might exhort one another. If you have a New American Standard Version, it says encouraging there. If you have an NIV version, it says encourage, which is our good translations of the word there. The idea is we're to exhort or to encourage one another. Stir up to love, good works, and to encourage one another. Question, will you leave here today having encouraged someone? Don't be so focused on, well, who's going to encourage me? Again, you just be the start of the thing. You let God work in you and then through you, and you watch how this whole thing works. But will you leave here today having encouraged someone? From all of our gatherings, do you look for opportunities to stop and encourage someone? You can, you know. And it's what is supposed to mark our gathering together. It's by His love, it says, that people will know that we are His. And so this says that we should actually seek to stir up in each other love, good works, and encourage each other. It is interesting to note here that the emphasis here in this text is not on what a believer gets from this assembling together, but rather on what he can contribute to the assembling together. Not just me, but you have something to offer somebody today and each time. And you may never know what that word of encouragement meant, but thank God for it. So be desiring to be a vessel in this way. Now, at this point, you may be thinking, Pastor, this is a nice text, really great, but Pastor, you're preaching to the choir. Pastor, I'm here. It says, not forsaking the gather together. Well, I'm here, Pastor. I got up this morning. I came to church. I'm missing the ball game. I'm here. You're preaching to the choir. Pastor, somehow you should be preaching to the guys that didn't come. Thank God you're here. I count it a privilege to gather together with you. Great. But the challenge is, and what the text is really talking about is, what are you about when you're here? Where's the focus as we gather? Where is your focus? What's your motive? And what will be the result? Worshiping God? Awesome. Growing in Him, being taught in His Word? Awesome. But is that all? We see there's more. Let us consider one another. What will be the fruit collectively from having gathered together. Are you willing? You willing to be a vessel to encourage somebody? Don't forsake each other is the call. Don't abandon each other. As the manner of some is. Especially it says, as we see the day, capital D, approaching. You know, certainly, it sure seems like we see the day approaching in our times. Again, as a pastor, I get a chance to talk to many of people, and I'll tell you, there are people who, they're very conservative, don't typically talk this way, they're not prone to saying wild and crazy things, but I tell you, more and more I have people come to me and saying, man, it sure looks to me like we're getting close. More and more I hear people saying, you really look at it. I mean, very well, God could really be putting the dominoes together now, and then one of these days, down they start falling. As we get, are we not living in interesting times? And we see so many things, this world going crazy. We see this, and certainly we can say, so much the more you see the day approaching. Sure seems like it is approaching, and it's approaching quick. Very well, may we see persecution like we as Americans have never known. How important is it going to be to get together and encourage and pray for and stir up the love and good works? Because you see, as things go crazy around us, that's going to give us that much more of an opportunity to share God to a people that are going to more and more find the futility of this world. So, this is what we're to be about. You know, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Can't read the whole passage, but in 1 Corinthians 12, that whole passage speaks about how we are all part of one another in the body, and therefore we all need one another. There is to be, and there should be, and there isn't anything, any such thing as a lone ranger Christian. Because we see here the call, the invitation is to not forsake the gathering together of the body. A member of a certain church who had been previously attending services at his church, he was a regular attender, he decided to stop going to church. Well, after a few weeks, the pastor decided to go visit this man. And it was a chilly evening, and as the pastor arrived, he found the man home alone, sitting in front of a blazing fire there in the fireplace. Guessing the reason for the pastor's visit, the man invited the pastor in and directed the pastor to sit in one of the chairs there in front of the fireplace. The pastor made himself comfortable, but said nothing to the man. So as they sat there in silence, both of them were kind of just contemplating the play of the flames on the fireplace there. Well, after some minutes, still not having said anything beyond their initial greeting, the pastor reached out and took one of the fireplace tongs and reached in and grabbed a glowing coal, an ember, just an ember from the fire, and brought it out and put it off to the side of the fireplace there, away from the rest of the fire. Well, as the man of the house there sat there in his chair watching this, they watched as this little ember, its fire quickly began to diminish. And pretty soon the glow had gone out, and it sat there cold and dead as a doornail. Again, not a word had been spoken since the initial greeting. Well, as they both sat there and kind of contemplated this scene, the pastor gathered up his stuff and got ready to leave. But right before he did that, he reached out again with the tong and he grabbed the cold ember and he put it back into the fire. And quickly, the ember that was so cold and was dead sprung to life again. It began to glow and was warm again. The pastor made his way to the door The host accompanied him. As the pastor went out the door, the man said, "Thank you so much for your visit, especially for your fiery sermon. I'll be there this Sunday." Left to its own, cold. Life going out of it. Put back in with the other embers, on fire again. What a sermon was in that illustration. We need each other. It's just the way it's designed to be. Remember the context of our text this morning. The gathering together is to what? Be an outgrowth of first entering the Holy of Holies. The first let us was what? Draw near to God. That's the first thing. See, there are some who come to church and they think that's the beginning and the end of it all. Kind of into churchianity, into the social aspect of it. No. First things first. We are to draw near to God. When we gather together, that's our focus. And that's the awesome thing, where we can corporately gather together in God, worship God together. You see, we do share a common blood, the blood of our Savior. And so we're there to worship Him together, first things first. And then what? And then make sure we're holding on, holding fast to the hope we've all found in Him. No matter what we go through, the storms we face, that there's a refuge and a strength, because He who promised is faithful. And then we gather together and we say, "Lord, how might you want to use me towards someone else to encourage them and bless them and love on them and those good works you called us to do?" All of us are partakers of the heavenly gift. And how awesome and how pleasing it is to our Lord when we act upon this call, this invitation, and how sad we settle for anything less. Look at our verses, verse 22, 23, and 24. It is very clear. The invitation is clearly stated. What is it? Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. And let us consider one another. Before we wrap up our time together, I'm going to invite you to take a moment and consider the invitation, this call that God has set before us. What is to be our response now that we have fellowship with, access to God, forgiven, heaven-bound? If you haven't received of that work, first things first, go to the prayer room, find a prayer partner, and receive Jesus as Savior. But if you have, what will be our response? So I ask you, do you need to be in that first let us? It says, let us draw near to God. If truth be told, you recognize that that's where you need to start. You haven't been drawn near to Him. Maybe once in a while, occasionally. Is God speaking to you that you need to start having a little more organized time of prayer, time of devotions, a time to more consistently draw near to Him? Then commit to it today. Respond. Act on the first, let us. The second was is to let us hold fast. Have you been wavering? Have you lost sight of how faithful He is? Are the storms beating against you? Maybe today you need to get your focus back upwards to just that, His faithfulness. Maybe today it's time to commit to holding fast to that hope. Thirdly, maybe the third let us applies to you. You need to begin to stir up love and good works in and through your life. Do you need to recognize, and you recognize you need to be more encouraging to others, not to be in such a hurry, to not abandon or leave out others? Let's take a moment and consider it. Let's pray. Father, before we rush off into our days, as you have so clearly, through your word, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, spoken to us, Lord, search our hearts right now. The call, the invitation, let us draw near, let us hold fast, let us consider one another. Lord, speak even now, we pray, to our hearts. While all our heads are bowed, I invite each one of us to take a moment and think about this. Is there a let us here that you need to let yourself be about? Perhaps you're one who knows it's time to get more serious about prayer. Time to commit to it. Time to draw near when you've been standing afar. Perhaps you want to know it's time to remember who you belong to and his sufficiency and all, and begin to stand fast when you've been looking around. Time to commit to that. Or thirdly, time to be one who is found stirring up to love and good works and encouraging one another. If you relate to any of those, and in particular, if it would be meaningful to you right now, I invite you. If God's speaking to you specifically about one of these let us times and let us responses, I invite you. If this particular time where you want to say, yeah, I'm going to get back on track on this, or I'm just going to kind of crank it up here, I'm going to raise it up a notch in this, or you know what, Lord, you're right, I hear your invitation, I want to respond to it in this way, I want to draw nearer, or whatever it might be, I invite you. Stand during this time. Tim's going to play some. He's going to play a little bit here for us and help us think about it. And if you relate to this, if it'd be meaningful for you, I understand God's working all of us. Again, I see it going on all around here. But for you particularly, do you recognize that you need to make a commitment to one of these or one or more? If it's meaningful to do that, I want to pray for you. And I ask you during this time just to stand quietly where you are. And then in a moment, I want to pray for you. Our awesome, loving, gracious, great God, our Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come like this to that shed blood of Jesus. And so we choose to do just that. We come. We draw near. Lord, you have spoken to our hearts this morning. Lord, recognizing that really all of us in this room have not arrived, we're all a work. We're all under construction. We're all in process here. We lift ourselves collectively to you and say, Lord, help us move forward in all of this. But Lord, in particular, you've touched these who are standing, Lord. Lord, they're standing, and you know why. You know whether it's because they recognize that invitation to draw near. They're standing because they know that they just want to make that proclamation. They're going to stand fast in your faithfulness. Perhaps responding to that call to be about stirring up to love and good works and encouragement amongst us. Whatever standing here represents, Lord, you know. You know every heart. But Lord, I have that privilege now of lifting each one to you. So Father, in Jesus' name, how I pray that this would represent a fresh start in whatever way it might mean, or just a continued growth, or whatever might be in particular, but Lord, have your way. Lord, if there is a repentance that's needed, so be it. That's between them and you, and I pray they might take that time, help them to take that time and get it straight with you. But Lord, we are reminded, it's not about our sufficiency and how much we can do, Lord. It's your faithfulness. It's your finished work, not our meager works, but your completed work. Lord, for each one, remind them of that. It's as we lean on you and as we experience your fullness and sufficiency and all that you do these things. So, Lord, for each one, I pray that all the coming days will be days of just growing in you and knowing you more and more and experiencing, Lord, the living out of this commitment that standing up means, Lord. So by your Holy Spirit now, for each one, standing or sitting, for all of us, Lord, Lord, we pray that indeed you'd find us responding to this call. Lord, let us be all about you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Based on the awesome privilege that every believer has, the call is to let us. Let us. That means let us be found. Let's do it. Let us be found doing this. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold fast because he's faithful. And let us consider each other to love and good works. And encouragement. As individuals and as a fellowship, the call is to let us be all about this. Let's go for it together. Let's close in song.